You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, 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 and welcome to you. Another week, another show from stress to authentic success. And I have to say, I've been in Spain for a little holiday, and we cannot ignore what is happening. The impact of our climate, the disasters are actually really current news. When I see how in Italy there are floods and floods all over, where in Spain there's a drought. I mean, it was about, let's say, 29, 30 degrees while it was just the 1st of May. And we've never seen such temperature in Spain in this winter. So wherever you are in the world, I'm talking to you in your area. Go and see what is the impact of the climate. And we as human beings have to adapt to that situation. Whether we're talking disasters like shootings, whether we're talking disasters like tsunamis, earthquakes, as I said, floods, drought. I've went onto Google to find someone who is specialized in stress management when we talk about those things. And I find an amazing lady, Dr. Robin Cox. And I'm really pleased because I just went on Google. I found her and she's a lady. She is actually in Canada, Victoria, British Columbia. And I was so pleased that I immediately got a response saying, I will do an interview with pleasure. We got connected, and I have to say she really is an expert in what we are going to talk about today. She her background is actually counseling psychologist, of course, but she is cultivating climate action leadership through education, research, and advocacy. And I have to add to that she has an open learning graduate program called the Climate Action Leadership, and also is a director of the Resilience by Design Lab. And all these things make her just the expert to talk to when we talk about how to build capacity, how to support change and transform our society, how to navigate as a leader in all those situations and sustain our well-being. So this is a show about stress management, but in a totally different angle. And I'm sure we'll talk about lots and lots of stories, tips, strategies. I'm sure Dr. Cox, Robin, will really give us a lot to think about. And I'm addressing myself to you today. Wherever you are, I'm talking to you, specifically to you, to see what you can do in your life to build up your resilience, to be a leader and sustain your own well-being in this society that is so quickly changing, in a society that has disasters all the time, where climate change is such an important subject. And so I want to talk to you and see and tell you what you can do in your own life to build up your resilience in this topic. So I'm so excited to talk to Robin Cox just after the break. And I am also excited to give you a little summary afterwards, so that you, that is always my purpose in every week, every show, is to give you a little summary on tips or things or strategies that I think that can help you to better your life, to become the better version of yourself. That is my inspiration, my motivation to do this show, is to help you to better your life. So I will see you just now after this little break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And as I said in the intro, I am talking today to Robin Cox. Welcome, Robin.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here.
Well, I don't know if you know, but I Googled stress management on the internet, and I was amazed with how many people came up that I've never heard about. And I thought, and you came up, and I thought, I have to talk to this lady, because, I mean, you know, we are about, I think, of the same age. And so we have a lot of experience and a lot of things to say. So I'm so pleased you accepted this interview. So thank you so much. And my first question, Robin, just can you tell me what has been your biggest stress in life and how did you conquer that?
Well, that's an interesting and a challenging question. I think, you know, I've lived through many stressors, as you know, and some of them large stressors, personal stressors, growing up in a single parent home and pretty economically challenged home. And so I think a lot of my my natural coping strategies personally arose from that context. But I would also say that for me, in some ways, the work of doing the work that I do, which is very much focused on challenging areas, like looking at how do we support people and communities navigate the stress and trauma of disasters, and now how do we support people and communities navigate and ideally stay healthy and maintain a sense of well-being and optimism in the context of so many enormous challenges, the primary one for me being climate change, but climate change in the context of the rise of authoritarianism, climate change, the rise of pandemics and economic instability and stuff. So I think there's a lot of life stressors. And for somebody like myself doing work in this space, that can be really challenging because, you know, I want to stay active and contributing. And at the same time, I can struggle with the sort of sense of despair or just overwhelm. And even, you know, and I think many of us struggle with this days, this sense of burnout where you're trying to do work that expands beyond, you know, whatever you think your work week is and, you know, manage balance that with life and school and all those other things. So I think, you know, sometimes the biggest stressors are just those day-to-day stressors where we're just trying to have a life, keep a family together and still do some good in the world.
Yes. Wow. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. So tell us a little bit more about what you've been doing the last decade, because you have had a big evolution in your work. So what about, because it's all about stress management. And I always say it's about self-management. It's about leadership. It's about a lot of things. So can you tell a little bit about the last 10 years with the climate and all that you've been doing?
Sure. So I'm a counseling psychologist by training. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my work early on in my career was focused in the area of working with individuals who were experiencing anxiety and depression and post-traumatic stress. And that evolved for me into a focus primarily working in the space of disasters, whether those are natural hazard related disasters like wildfires, bushfires, flooding, large storms and hurricanes, and also things like, you know, the rise in violence and school shootings and such. So for many years, that has been my focus. I helped design a program at the university where I work, Royal Roads University, a master's program in disaster and emergency management. My focus, in addition to, you know, supporting the program development and running, was really on what we call the psychosocial side. So this idea of the psychological and the social impacts of those kinds of events, and how do we support people, as I say, sort of navigating those stressors. In the past about 8 years, that has evolved to include and really focus on this other huge existential crisis that we now face, which we call climate change. And so working in that space, I've designed and now am leading a program, another master's program, but also some other smaller educational opportunities, micro-credentials and certificates, et cetera, focused in climate action leadership. So this idea that we all need to be leaders, not just politicians or officials, but leadership in that broad sense, that we all collectively need to embody leadership in order to survive this crisis, to address it and survive it. We're not doing a great job in terms of addressing it. Mm. And so the program is really designed to say, how do we support people understanding what the issues are, understanding what some of the potential solutions are, and how to convene people, groups and citizens and organizations and governments. How do we support people convening those groups and also motivating them to act, whether it's around reducing greenhouse gas emissions? A lot of my work focuses on the other parallel side of climate, which is on how do we, you know, sort of assess the risks and impacts. How do we manage those? How do we adapt to them and still, you know, work towards having a society and a world that we want to live in, that we want our grandchildren and great grandchildren and generations to come to live in? And so it's this blend of, I think my career has always been a blend of some really practical, like, okay, I need to do this. I need to get through this, or I need to address this. How do I do that? And then this other more internal piece, which is around how do I support my own resilience and the resilience of others as we move forward? And I would say particularly, it's also true of disasters, but particularly in the context of climate change, the only way we are going to be able to slow the damage down and adapt and as I say, build a society that is going to, if not thrive, then at least be a society that we can recognize and want to live in, is a collective effort. It's collective mm-hmm. leadership. It's everyone. I always use the phrase, and I think I learned this as a child, you know, living in a somewhat economically precarious family, a single parent family, I had this phrase that I used to live and lean into, which was like all hands on deck. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and I feel like we're at that place as a world right now. It's like we need all hands on deck. We cannot afford to fall asleep at the wheel, mm-hmm. or another metaphor. And we need to be supporting each other collectively and ourselves to be able to sort of face the challenges that we are encountering and that we have created, and do that with compassion and with empathy and supporting resilience, whatever that means to anyone, you know, listening, which is, you know, our well-being psychologically, emotionally, physically, and the well-being of our society, you know.
Yes.
Those ideas. So that's really where my work and passion lies these days.
And you're talking about practical. Can you tell us a little bit, because I'm sure somebody out there is listening now and thinking, oh yeah, you know, leadership, I need to start, you know, building resilience for myself because this crisis is ever changing, so quickly changing society. Yeah. I can't follow, you know, there's so much going on. Can you give us a practical step, maybe out of your program or whatever, to somebody listening and wanting to do something about this?
Yeah, I think this is true really with all stress related, you know, whether it's stress related to your job or stress related to these large issues, which is the first step and grief and anxiety. The first step is actually acknowledging that
yes, you're having acknowledgement.
So there is some, I think for many people, there is some work to do on getting back in touch with our experience and what's going on in our bodies. Like, what's going on? Why am I, yes, my shoulders are sore, or I'm getting headache. That's a symptom.
Yes.
And we need to then sort of understand, okay, well, what's creating that for me? And a lot of it is, yes, outside things, but it's also how we make sense of them. So acknowledging it, and then coming to understand how we are making sense of those things, what the story is in our head. These are very basic steps, right, of any kind of stress work, which is, what are the stories that I'm telling myself about what's going on, and how are those feeding me, supporting me, or how are those eroding and sort of defeating me? And then
I love that, because it's like the inner dialogue. What are we telling ourselves? What kind of lies? Yeah. What kind of drama? Is that what you mean?
Yes. And, you know, human beings are story beings, right? We have stories of who we are, of who somebody else is, of what's important in our lives or what's important in the world. We have stories about what we're doing or not doing, etc. And so coming to, you know, I think reflection is a bit of a lost art. So I think part of that practical thing is taking and making the time,
yes,
to reflect on how am I in my body? What's going on? You know, where am I feeling, you know, burbling or tension or whatever? And then what's the stories that are feeding that kind of thing? And then starting to turn those stories around and say, so for example, with climate change, it's not about saying, oh, it's all going to be fine. And it's not about denial. That is not helpful, whether it's climate change or stress at work or
violence, you know, in the world. Violence, you know, all these, some people, yeah.
It's not, we one of the common responses to that I also do, so it's not, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it either, but, you know, is to distract ourselves from it. And I would say modern society, particularly in, you know, Western societies, European societies, et cetera, we do a lot of distraction.
Yes,
and we do
I
that
agree.
By shopping, watching TV, whatever. And I'm not, again, saying beat yourself up for that. That's also not helpful, but to recognize where we're distracting ourselves. So, and then to be able to say, okay, what do I know about this? So if I think about climate change, what do I know? And I think for many people, one of the big stressors with climate change is not really understanding what it is and how it's going to impact it. And some of that is because of a lack of access to information. Some of it is a lack of interest. And some of it is like, I don't want to know because it's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I think being able to sort of, you know, the phrase sort of knowledge is power in a sense. And so I think not being shy from learning about what is going on, ideally doing that in the company of others also interested in learning, because there's something very powerful about a social network when you're learning.
Sharing.
Sharing. You get to bounce ideas. You get to say, am I crazy? And there, you know, someone says, oh, I have the same experience. You get to support each other. So doing it in isolation is often not a great thing, because we've all these stories. It's like, I'm not doing enough. I'm doing it wrong. I don't know what to do, etc. So learning in that space, and then finding ways to move into action, because again, you need to have some understanding in order to be able to move into action. And I think with climate change, a lot of what is going on for people, particularly young people, but I think it's also true for many people, is this sense of, it's too big, it's too overwhelming, there's nothing to do, and that feeds anxiety, that feeds stress, that feeds depression.
The uncertainty, the like you say, you know, if you don't know, are you saying that we need to know more about the facts and look at the facts instead of making assumptions and trying to make our own story of it, look more at the facts?
I think we need to know more about the facts. And it's not, you know, you don't need to know every detail, but I think just, you know, learning a bit more about it so that you understand what is happening, why it's happening, right? And then moving into, okay, so what can be done? And what part can I play in that doing? Because one of the things with stress, anxiety, and depression is that a core component of that is a feeling of helplessness. Like,
yes,
I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do, etc. That sense of disempowerment is very core to the foundation of feeling stress, anxiety, and depression.
I agree.
So, you know, so moving into that space of, okay, I can't solve this all by myself. Clearly, if I could, I'd be, you know, queen of the world. But there are things that I can be doing. There are things that I can be doing in my own life, like at the micro level, in my household, with my family. There are things that I can be doing in my community. And there are things that I can be contributing to at that larger national or global stage. I mean, you know, and there are very practical things we can do. So, I mean, whether it's, you know, how you vote, or how you interact with your political representatives and encourage them to be doing things. And it's not only during voting season, right? You know, it's like, how do we step up as citizens and say, this is not okay. I want to see something different. Again, ideally finding other people who are also interested in doing that. There's power in numbers, and there's support in numbers. You can, you know, and there are many ways to be contributing. There's like, if I learn about what's happening in the climate space, and, you know, what's happening to create the problem, I can share that knowledge, not as a, you know, a finger pointer, or, you know, this is what you should, but just to build awareness, like, how can I contribute to my kids being aware of what's going on, or my, you know, partner or whatever? And how can I then, because being aware is one part of it, but again, and if you think about kids, this is really true. Like, parents are often super concerned about their children being overwhelmed by this kind of information. And I think that's a valid concern, right? Because it's information without empowerment, right? Yes. So, you know, if you can say, this is happening, yes, and acknowledge their emotions, so working with their emotions and saying, yeah, this is, it's scary for me too. And this is what I know about what we can do. So this is how we can make a difference. This is how we can start building towards a future that you want to live in and that I want you to live in, sort of thing. There are very micro practices around stress mm-hmm. management too. Some of it coming back to the story thing, which is kind of retraining our brains, and kids can do this as well, to shift that story. You know, yes. This is scary. Okay, what about it is scary? Well, because I'm not going to have a future. Well, but right now we don't know what your future is going to be. So let's work with where we're at now and redesign a story that has you as a central character with some power and agency. And, you know, again, with this sense of reaching out to each other. So, you know, there
take
are
take back
practical...
your power, isn't it? Because like you said, yeah. It was about hopelessness, yeah. Power, disempowerment. Yeah. It's about taking back your power so you feel more in, I'm not saying control, but that you feel that you can take actions. That's an important one. If you are like this and you think, oh, there's nothing I can do and I feel this and I feel that, it's about action, isn't it?
It is about action, and it is about taking back your power. And I think we get a lot of messages in our world, subtly and very explicitly, yes. that send the opposite message,
yes.
like you don't really have power. And it's like, well, the corporations run everything, or the government does yeah. this, or, you know, or, and some people give up power and say, well, I don't know. Like, I worked in with disasters, both as on the ground responder, offering psychosocial support, and, you know, in this larger sort of policy and education arena. And so often what can happen is people will go, well, I don't know what's happening. I have no idea what's happening, but, you know, the government, whether it's municipal or provincial or state, whatever, or larger, you know, it's like, well, they may even want that because they may not want you know, your voice to be, you know, a part of the conversation. It gets more complex as people become more empowered. But I think not accepting that and saying, like, I am going to find out what's happening. I do have some thoughts on what should happen, and I can have some influence on the process. Mm. It's not always easy, or maybe even often easy. But I think it is possible. You know, there's many examples of people, and I know this is overused, but in the climate space, if you look at whether you like it or not, you know, if you look at what Greta Thunberg did, mm-hmm. one child sitting yes. outside of school on one day a week saying, this is not okay. And mm-hmm. she, you know, ended up speaking to, you know, yeah. world leaders
everywhere.
And influencing young people around the world. One child making mm-hmm. a decision to say, I'm going to take back my power. I can have a say. And I think it's that kind of orientation to the world that we need to be cultivating mm. with each other, which is we have governments for a reason, and they do lots of important work, but they are meant to be a voice of us. And if we're yes. not actively engaging with that, then, you know, you can't really complain. It's like,
Robin, ask you, wasn't the pandemic a good example of that?
Exactly. It was. And I think the pandemic was a good example of many things.
Mm.
One, you know, early on in the pandemic, I don't know what it was like where you live, but where I live, early on in the pandemic, once it was announced, there was a strong rebirth of community.
Yes.
People were knocking on their neighbors' mm. doors and saying, can I help you get groceries or whatever it was. We were helping each other. Mm. We see this following natural hazard disasters like wildfires and bushfires.
Yes.
We see this. And this is sort of surgence of community. But we also see in both contexts it very soon disappearing under the burden of, in the case of the pandemic, I think the length of time, mm-hmm. The different perceptions of public health measures and, you know, I don't feel like somebody can do that. You know, someone shouldn't be telling me what to do, whatever
yes.
whatever it was. And so that fractures, that sense of community fractures, and that sense of sort of collective caring fractures. And so I think, A, we should be looking at that and going, wow, I really liked what happened at the start. I'm not so keen on what happened 2 years later. How do we start cultivating that sense of caring for each other, our neighbors, our community, et cetera, and not just, you know, let it disappear in the way that we let it disappear? Mm. I think the pandemic also demonstrated in very challenging ways how fractured our societies are, you know, that we have people very much, I think about this a lot. It's almost, to use a psychological term, it's a narcissistic kind of focus. Mm. Which it's all about me.
Me.
And what I need and what I deserve and what my rights are. And it's like, well, yes, but with rights come responsibilities. And we lost the responsibilities to each other part of that in many cases. And so I think the pandemic very much highlighted that. And then the pandemic also highlighted, not that we don't know this, but just how interconnected everything is, you know, that the pandemic disrupted, you know, because various countries shut down, it disrupted supply chains. Many, you know, you rely on things coming from a different country. Now those are not happening. So it really demonstrated how interconnected we are. And unfortunately, I think, again, you know, in the disaster field, we used to talk about lessons learned. Now it's really more lessons learned and applied, because learning something and not then applying it is like, okay, that's not so useful. And I think, again, in the pandemic, we saw lessons learned around how interconnected, how dependent we are on, as countries, on systems that, you know, with a disruption like this are not operating. But also, you know, with ourselves, it's like, okay, I'll speak to myself, you know, when it first happened, I, like everyone else, was like, oh, wow, the grocery stores, and I, you know, we better make sure we've got some food. And, you know, I don't know what happened there, but here it was like this crazy rush on toilet paper. I'm not sure what the connection was, but, you know, it was sort of like
everyone, exactly the same. Yeah.
You know, to deal with their needs and their family. And while there's
out of stress, though, I just want to say that it's out of stress. There was such an anxiety. And that's why I'm saying an example was the pandemic, because I can imagine whether it's floods, whether it's, you know, there's an anxiety, there's a fear. And with the pandemic, it was so clear to me that general fear, instead of what you said, that first step, acknowledging what is going on, what do we, you know, it, I find that the stress and the fear were so disempowering, because I was seeing in my practice, you know, trying to help people emotionally, mentally, physically with burnout and everything. I was seeing that people were actually, the danger was bigger in the fear of getting COVID and in the fear of what was going on in society than the thing itself.
In some ways,
isn't that the lesson learned?
I don't know if it's a lesson learned. It's a good question. I mean, I think it was something we experienced. I guess I look around, because I agree with you. I mean, fear and uncertainty are enormous stressors. And fear and uncertainty, as I said earlier, are often connected to that sense of, the unknown, which, of course, the pandemic had lots of unknowns, and disempowerment, like, oh, my gosh, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, again, sort of paying attention to those things. And I think there's that sense of, you know, when I'm afraid, whether it's there may be a very real thing to be afraid of. And certainly I would say COVID was something, it maybe still is something.
It was a bad virus.
Right? You know, it wasn't just a,
no,
you know, a cold or whatever.
Yeah.
So there was something, but then as with most situations, when there is fear, you can either, you know, often freeze or or go on the attack. But there's also a middle ground where you can say, okay, what can I do in this situation that makes sense? And so we were given some tools to do things like wearing a mask and social distancing and such. So I think initially it was fear, but that, and again, we see this in pretty much all disasters.
All disasters. Hmm.
That gives way to this weariness. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm still dealing with this, whether it's like I'm still out of my home waiting to go back, or now I have to rebuild or whatever, or in the case of the pandemic, I'm still dealing with the, you know, wearing a mask and not certain about who I should connect with. And I think there's a weariness. And so in the absence of, again, that sort of self-reflection, like, how is this impacting me? And then what can I do about that?
What can I do about it is the
right. Hmm. You know, so and there are, you know, some of these, I want to come back to some where I think another thing around systems, but I think in that space, it's like, what can I do about it? And so I think if we look at having more conversations about that with each other, again, acknowledging what's going on, it's like, well, what could we do? And we did find some creative workarounds, like obviously with Zoom and, you know, getting together outside if we had that option, et cetera. But I think ultimately just recognizing it's like, I'm tired. This has had an impact. And I see this now. I mean, COVID is still with us, but the impact on, I think, across society is that people are weary and sort of burned out.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
And so how do we take care of ourselves and each other in that space of being tired and burnout? So I have to lower my expectations of what I'm able to do. I'll say this and then I'm going to put another lens on it. But, you know, I have to lower my expectations, be gentle with myself, basically. I need to find the things that nourish me, you know, whether that's, you know, food or getting outside and walking or getting in nature.
What nourish my body, my soul, my mind, that my kind spirit. Of thing.
Mm. Exactly. Mm. And then, you know, and those kinds of very real approaches to dealing with burnout. And then I have to think about what needs to change in and around me. And this is, I think, where many people struggle, and it's a real struggle, which is, it's one thing, it's easy to download all of this onto the individual and say, well, you need to cope better, you need to manage stress better, you need to be resilient, you need to be blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yes, some of that does rest with you, but you live in a context, and you live in a context of systems, whether that's healthcare, education, the food systems, energy systems. So we live in systems, and those systems, in many cases, are not serving us well.
Mm.
You know, they're not supporting us having that work-life balance. They're not supporting us connecting with each other. They're not supporting us addressing climate change, for that matter, you know. So I think it's not as simple as saying, if you as an individual, you need to sort this out and here's some practical strategies. Yes, you do need to do that. But you also, this is the collective part, which is we also need to recognize and then start working together to change the systems that are not supporting us being well, healthy, you know, alive human beings, not to mention the other species in the world that are not human, and then start working to change those systems. And I don't say that is easy. It's not. Like, if you're working for an employer who doesn't acknowledge the stress and burnout of the pandemic and just is expecting you to keep going, that's incredibly hard.
Mm.
I mean, I can sort of stray into things, but I think it's, you know, those kinds of things where workers need to get and say, okay, this is not okay. This is not supportable. We as citizens of the world need to be stepping into that space of what we have created, as beautiful as it is in many places, is not supportable or sustainable. And it doesn't support or sustain us being well. And I certainly, in my part of the world, there's a beautiful resurgence of Indigenous knowledge and rights,
yes,
in the world and in Canada. You know, we're involved in a truth and reconciliation process, and really, and Indigenous people are at the forefront of getting their, you know, demanding their rights as they should be. I'm not Indigenous, but I learned so much in that space, and what I see and am learning to really value is a different worldview that really prioritizes relationships.
Yes.
And that means making time and space for them. And again, this doesn't, I mean, you can do that at an individual level, but we need to be doing that at a societal level as well. That really draws strength from and inspiration from and learning from the land on which we reside. Yes.
Respect for nature and all that kind. And, you know, as
human beings, I think it's easy for us to, well, I will say from a dominant culture perspective anyway, it's very easy for us to forget that we are a species, like every other species, that we are, nature is not outside, we're part of nature. We're an organic carbon-based life form, just like a tree or, you know, a dog or a bear or whatever. And in that separation from nature, I think has really created and continues to create and feed a lot of the stress and illness that we experience.
Yes.
No. That's
why I like you when you talk about leadership, you know, because if we start being, first of all, as an individual, you are totally right to, you know, to be your own leader, to do self-leadership. But then to be the leader in society that aspires and inspires and motivates us to go for a, like, for example, nature, to, you know, to keep the world. I mean, this beautiful planet, you know, I would love to have my grandchildren live. I've got four grandchildren. I would love for them to live in a, you know, in a beautiful world where this nature stays magical instead of where it's all polluted and toxic. And so that's one of my things that I really love. So thank you for that, Robin. The time goes too quickly, but Robin, I just want to hear one quote or one statement that you live by, something that you say that is what I go for, that we can finish with.
Oh,
a quote that you adore or a statement or something of your own.
Yeah, I'm not good at remembering quotes. There are many writers that I do live by. I think for me, you know, sort of my own mantra is, it's more of a lived thing than a quote, which is that I am a part of this whole beautiful planet, that I have the power and the intention and the responsibility to be contributing to that beauty and that, and by beauty, I don't just mean visual beauty, but the beauty of being alive, you know, the gift of being alive.
The gift.
And that I have as the center of that to practice real deep gratitude. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I have the privilege of living close to the ocean, and I swim in the ocean throughout the year, in the cold ocean throughout the year. And part of the reason I do that, it's a practice of gratitude and a practice of being embodied.
Yes, I agree.
And I have so many gifts that I live, and I have a responsibility to care for those gifts and to share those gifts with in whatever ways I can.
Thank you so much for this. I really enjoyed this beautiful. I mean, we can talk for hours. That's for sure. Maybe you can come back and, you know, let's talk some, you know, when there's more to talk about, and certainly about the leadership that we, the ownership of, I love that kind of conversation. So thank you, Robin. I'm going to have a little break and I'll come back to the audience just now. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, we are back, and I am so excited. Thank you for listening in, because this was a conversation that we all needed. We all need to know how to navigate as a leader and to sustain our own well-being when things in crisis, when things like shootings, floods, whatever it is, even the pandemic we talked about. So I really loved that conversation. And Robin, Dr. Robin, is actually really advising you and I to, first of all, acknowledge what is going on. See and feel, get in touch with your body of what the situation, like the pandemic, like a flood, like a storm, like whatever disaster, whatever crisis is happening in your life that you cannot control. Go and find and acknowledge what you feel and what it is it that is in your cells, in your body. Which symptoms are, how are you feeling in your body? And make sense of the story that you are telling yourself. And I really like that one, because in my practice, and it doesn't even have to be the big disasters, but in any small crisis that we live through in our personal life, and I'm talking to you, I am sure that you are making a story in your head, a story often that you are telling yourself, and that is feeding the drama, that is feeding your stress and your anxiety. So Dr. Robin was telling us to make the time to reflect on things. It is such an important thing. And journaling is one of the things that I always suggest, but you can go and sit down. I mean, it's a beautiful sunny day here now, and I am certainly going to reflect on my week just now. Sit down with a nice little drink on the terrace or in the garden a few blocks away, and go there and reflect on my day, on my week, how I'm feeling in my body. And I think for you, it might be really a good tip. Stop all the distraction in your life. Stop all the distraction in your life. That is such a big thing. We are in a society of distraction continuously. So go within, go and feel what is going on in your body, because knowledge is power. What can I do is the question. What can I do? What can be done in this situation, in this particular situation? And then you go and do that. whether it is something that is helping you personally, whether it is something that you can go and do for someone else. But it is a fact that we need to retrain our brain. And that has to do with the story we are telling ourselves. We are so quickly going into assumptions and everything. And we need to retrain our brain. I really love that when Dr. Robin explained that. Because let's be honest, fear and uncertainty, we talked about it in the pandemic, fear and uncertainty in any situation in this society is so present that it is disempowering you and me. It is disempowering you. It takes away your power. And so people are becoming so tired and burnout. Are you tired? Are you burned out? Are you really fed up with this, with the drama, with the vicious cycle of stress and anxiety? Dr. Robin really gave us a few things to think about. And she said, we are off track often in this society. Even today, I read an article, and it is true that many of us are off track. So we need to find a new track. And I'm trying with this show to inspire you and motivate you to find your track. Because Robin said at the end how life is such a gift. It's magic. It is a miracle. And you need to realize that even with the disasters, even with what is happening, you are still a part of this beautiful planet. You have the power to contribute to this planet, to the survival of this planet, to the beauty, to the miracle that it is. And so that is your gift. And so it's up to you to go and reflect and see in any situation, whether it's big disaster, small traumas, whatever it is in your life, to go and find out for yourself, how do I feel? What can I do? So it's all about acknowledgement, reflection, stopping the distraction, and really take back your power and finding your own track. So I'm going to finish with that. I think that is a beautiful way to finish this show. And I trust that you will have an amazing week where you are going to reflect on yourself, on your situation, on everything that is going on in this society and in this beautiful world that we take so for granted. I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago, yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8-16. 2025 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.